Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio. It's what you're listening to, and we appreciate it. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard, raised in Dallas. And Walker and I are in studio with Steve Jordahl, who's works in the newsroom for American Family Radio and joins us Mondays through Thursdays at this time.
Good morning, Steve. It was nice to hear Fred back on the radio again after a couple of weeks.
Fred goes every end of the summer, first of the fall. Fred goes home typically to Nova Scotia.
So what's the opposite of a snowbird? The people that come from cold climates and come down to like Florida.
I think Fred was going back to Nova Scotia.
We call him a penguin?
Where he grew up.
But you notice he went in September, not in
it's
February.
True.
Exactly
that.
What I was going to say. Even Fred doesn't want to go to Nova Scotia in February. I don't know how hot it is, how cold it is up there. You know, when you think about Canada, obviously it's above the U.S.
So my son calls it America's hat.
Or America's hat, as it were.
Right.
I'm sure they don't appreciate Canada being referred to as America's hat.
They're not laughing about that at all.
But the point is, you know, we think here, man, Minnesota in the winter, wow. Or Montana or Michigan, wow.
Right.
And then you think,
just keep going north.
There are people living above those folks.
Yeah, they don't call it the Great White North for nothing.
That's right.
For sure.
All right. You're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Walker Wildman is our health food guru around here. In fact, right now, Walker, hold up what you're eating over there.
Well, I knew I couldn't get away with this.
Hold it up on the radio
for me to eat food on national radio. I have a Pop-Tart. This is not an endorsement of these.
Of this particular brand.
No. I have a Pop-Tart and a Coca-Cola.
And a Coca-Cola.
That's my kind of health food there.
It's good old
breakfast
fashioned.
Of champions.
Whatever diet you're on, I want on it too.
Yeah, it's just one of those days you get so hungry. And even though I only have about 30 minutes till lunch.
As your dad, I just want people to know I didn't teach you these habits.
You didn't?
Of eating Pop-Tarts and drinking Coke at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Sometimes you just got to have some caffeine and some sugar.
Good disclaimer.
Just
got
to have it.
Wesley's still at the age that we can't tell if he can eat all he wants without it showing or anything. So the rest of us have to kind of watch that stuff. Walker.
Yeah.
Wesley as well, but
Anyways,
I do my daily walking with my wife every afternoon, so that pays off for this.
Right. You got to have some energy, and what's better than a Pop-Tart?
And a Coke.
And a
That's
Coke
it.
To get you going there. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're live video streaming at our Facebook page. Go search for Today's Issues, and we thank everyone who's listening and watching there. And we also have a podcast at AFR.net. Any of the shows you can download here on the AFR.net on our podcast. That's easy to find, Walker?
Yes, sir. AFR.net, all information regarding Today's Issues and American Family Radio.
Newsman Steve Jordahl is here.
Yep.
Steve, go ahead.
We had a really nice moment in the House today, and I'm glad you're sitting down because that probably shocks you given the tone in Washington. But I know you mentioned that Representative Steve Scalise made his reappearance in Congress after that horrific shooting. I just happened to listen in a little bit, and I wanted to just give you a sense of how it sounded. The first thing we're going to hear is House Speaker Paul Ryan welcoming him back with a little bit of humor.
Our prayers have been answered. His bravery and his family's strength have been such an inspiration to this house and to the people it serves. America is grateful for this moment. The chair now proudly asks, for what purpose does the gentleman from Louisiana seek recognition?
To speak out of order, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
He was given a rousing several-minute-long standing ovation when he first came in, and truly someone that's beloved by his colleagues. His femur was shattered. The hip and pelvis were seriously damaged. He has steel plates up and down his body. What's called the iliac blood vessel, and I'm showing my medical knowledge here, it was damaged, and 30 to 50% of injuries to that blood vessel result in death. He seriously was very seriously injured and very near death when they brought him in. Several surgeries, and he's committed now to a long-term rehabilitation project. He was on crutches when he came in, and he did say he spoke for 5 to 10 minutes. Seemed to have all his strength. He didn't seem to be lacking. He looked good, and this is a little bit of what he said. Cut three, Brent.
When I was laying out on that ball field, the first thing I did once I was down and I couldn't move anymore is I just started to pray. And I will tell you, it gave me an unbelievable sense of calm, knowing that at that point it was in God's hands. But I prayed for very specific things. And I will tell you, pretty much every one of those prayers was answered. And they were some pretty challenging prayers I was putting in God's hands. But he really did deliver for me and my family, and it just gives you that renewed faith in understanding that the power of prayer is something that you just cannot underestimate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
So he cast his first couple votes again today. He voted for funding for the hurricane relief, and he voted for an FAA a measure as well. So Steve Scalise back. I know that a lot of people were praying for him, and that was a moment that kind of gave us all chills when that shooting happened. So good news in Washington.
All right, you're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues. Now that they're holding hands, singing Kumbaya in the House of Representatives,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Everybody's welcome. Everybody
love each other.
There's not going to be a single argument. Everything's going to pass by unanimous voice vote from now on.
All right. So, what's next on the news agenda here?
Well, this is again on the medical front, but we're starting to get a picture of what happened to Otto Warmbier. Otto Warmbier was the college student that was arrested in Korea a couple years ago now. What he did was he grabbed a poster.
North Korea or South Korea?
North Korea. If I said South Korea, I apologize.
You just said Korea.
Well, it would be the north part. And he grabbed a little poster that he was going to take with him as kind of a souvenir. You know, college kid wants to. It was in Korean and it said something. But they thought that was enough for North Korea to arrest him as a spy. And they tried and convicted him. And you may remember he had this very tearful confession, and then he was led away, and his parents continued to apply for his release. They continued to try to get the president to talk about it. The president did talk about it several times, and then a couple months ago, or a month ago or so, he was brought back. They released him, and his parents went to meet him on the plane, and they knew that he was not in good health. They said they expected him to be in kind of an induced kind of coma and that they would slowly work to bring him back. What they heard when they walk up the stairs was what his mom described as an inhuman howl of some cry. And they did not know the torture that he went through. He had a scar covering the entire top of his right foot, indicating that it whatever wound he had there was left untreated for months. His hands and legs were deformed. He had a temperature of 104 degrees. His father said his teeth had been rearranged with pliers. They took, and so I heard on TV, some of these suspect that they took his teeth out with pliers and then tried to put them back in.
Good.
And he was blind. He was deaf. He was jerking violently and moaning on the stretcher. A feeding tube coming out of his nose, and within days he was dead.
I would almost bet that medical professionals who reviewed him either before or after he passed away they've probably narrowed down the kind of torture features or torture items that he experienced. Now, they probably won't say that publicly, but that's some sick stuff that it appears that they did to him while he was in North Korea.
The coroner report, the reason that this is in the news today is the coroner report came out yesterday or the day before. And oddly, the coroner said that they could not tell if he was tortured, medically speaking. I don't know how that can be, but that's just what they said, what the coroner reported.
Right.
It's without doubt, logically and after looking at that, that he was. But
I think part of it, Steve, is that we've watched these movies where they beat them with hoses and metal pipes and things like that and leave a lot of obvious bruises. But the North Koreans, they're pros. They've been perfecting torture for, 60-some years now. And it's not at all – everything the father said is completely believable, especially the stuff about the teeth. It's also believable that they engaged in not just physical torture but medical torture and psychological torture to basically destroy him from the inside out and returned him with basically no life left at all. These people knew what they were doing. And they knew how to do it without leaving any traces.
What was it? Was he? He was accused of being a spy.
That's what they accused him of being.
Yeah.
But as he was walking out toward the airport, he grabbed a sign off of a wall, and I don't remember what the sign says, but it was some communist slogan.
Right.
And in the middle of this, they accused the North Korean government accused the guy's church of being in cahoots. I remember I brought this story in. You might not have been here, Tim, but it was of they said that the church had $4 million in their account that they were going to be using for anti-North Korean propaganda, and it was just outlandish. Right. You know, what strikes me is that we had this discussion in this country about torture and waterboarding and how inhumane waterboarding is, and that's dunking someone to make them think that they're going to drown and putting them in some physical distress with lack of oxygen. It doesn't kill somebody, and it doesn't permanently harm them. It just scares them. And when you hear about this, it kind of puts torture in a whole different light.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issue. What's the name of the family?
The Warm Beers, Warmbier.
Where are they from?
I don't know.
I think they're from up north. That's very generic, but more middle North America.
Okay. Yeah, I forgive me because I should know that, but I don't.
Okay.
I don't. But.
I think he came into Chicago or somewhere like that when he flew back.
Yeah, I was thinking Ohio or somewhere in there.
Ohio is right.
There you go.
He's from Ohio. His family's from Ohio.
Right.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's next?
Well, you know, we've been kind of wondering how much of the federal government is still in control or sympathetic to the Obama agenda after President Obama was taken out of office, ran out his term, and President Trump was elected. We've been seeing this whole resist movement, and a lot of it is coming, the leaks and so forth coming from within the government. We're starting to ask, where are these coming from, and why hasn't he fired all these people? Well, there's a good reason. It turns out that according to the Government Accountability Office, President Obama had took 78 of his political appointees and did what he called what's called burrowing them into the government jobs. Burrow like a mole does in the yard.
Yeah.
They burrowed into government jobs, and what happens? It's an official process, and you have to get permission from, I guess Congress has to give permission for this to happen, but it takes a political appointee and it makes that job permanent. Because you can't have the entire federal government resign and hire a whole new federal government every 4 to 8 years.
Why not?
Well, that would be nice, but 4 to 8 years, there's a couple hundred thousand federal employees, if not more. And so they have
you not heard of Script Recruiter.com. or whatever.
Yeah.
What is it called? ZipRecruiter?
ZipRecruiter,
yeah. Right.
Yeah, they just use that and hire some new people. I'm just kidding.
They will. Yeah,
just
you would.
Just kidding.
Well, there's a reason. They have a union.
Okay. Federal government.
Federal government has a union.
Okay.
All right.
Federal government has a union, and you can't fire them. But 78 people that President Obama burrowed into the federal government, and he was warned, he was told by the incoming administration, don't do this. Because it's, you know, you're just implanting. He was warned in his final year against assigning political appointees to career jobs. And he was asked by Republicans to implement a hiring freeze to avoid keeping workers who opposed President Trump's policies. He didn't do that.
Yeah, you know, it's very difficult. I don't know how you fix this exactly, but we've talked about this before. The deep state, as it were,
mm-hmm.
what it's called. You have... you know, thousands of people who work for the federal government all across the country. But yeah. we're talking about specifically for the agencies out of Washington, D.C. or in Washington, D.C. And, you know, their career bureaucrats, a lot of them, have been there a long time. They're not easily replaced, and they have job security. And so when you have a new president come in, you may have a new leader at the top, for example, Attorney General Jeff Sessions. But he may be, but beneath him may be 1,000 people, 90% of them are President Obama liberal supporters. President Obama and or supporters or appointees and or, but they're very liberal. So they're going to oppose ideologically the Trump administration and A.G. Sessions. I'm just giving you one example.
Right.
So if you see how that can usurp the work of the Justice Department under the direction of Attorney General Sessions, because maybe somebody slows something down. Maybe somebody doesn't do the phone call or make the research that's supposed to be done to be able to do Attorney General Sessions can't do everything by himself.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You say that's it'll be like AFA and us here in American Family Radio. We got 100 people plus work for us. It'd be like us having a, only 10 of us that agreed with the mission, 90% of them didn't. It's just a job. Well, you can see how that would be demoralizing, how that wouldn't work, how that could usurp the work.
So and I don't know if what the percentages are, but the idea is that if you're a career person, you have a job to do, you do it to the best of your ability without political considerations coming into it. If my job is to, for example, at the IRS, is to approve someone to be a nonprofit or a 501c4 organization, I do that by reviewing their material. Do they are their tax documents in order? Are they a nonprofit? And then I make the determination based on certain criteria that has nothing to do with politics, as opposed to what Lois Lerner did, which was, well, are they conservative? Well, we're going to hold them up, and so the permanent jobs are supposed to be non-political.
Right.
And then there's a whole class of people that are political appointees whose job it is, and legally it is, to implement the wishes of the administration and to do and to help their cause. And so by doing what they're calling burrowing in, what they're doing is they are making those political people now part of that permanent class of employees.
And you're saying there's really no way now. Once they're burrowed in, it's pretty hard to get them out.
They actually literally are part of a union, and it is hard to get them out. And so that's why you're seeing a lot of the leaks. Now, 78 people doesn't sound like a whole lot when it comes to the shift of state. Hundreds of thousands of people in the federal government employ 78 people shouldn't be able to do a whole lot of damage. But if you put the right 78 people in the right spots, they can do a whole lot of damage.
I'm guessing that the if you federal government employees probably going to go vote 75% Democrat.
You know, yeah, it's mainly because they're the reason I guess that is because
I'm just guessing. I have no stats here.
The reason is because it's housed in D.C. and surrounding D.C. are heavily, heavily Democrat places. So the places where these people are coming from are Democrats, so that they would probably 75% of them would be Democrat or liberal going in, because that's where they live.
Right. 90%+ of the D.C. metro votes Democratic.
Right.
So you know, if I'm a lawyer coming out of law school, and I might come out of Liberty University Law School or whatever, and so I just because I end up in the federal government, I'm supposed to do my job irrespective of party, but most of those people live are part of that pool, so I don't think your statistics are far off at all.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 4 minutes left for you to prioritize what's most important to talk
let's,
about. Steve.
Let's end this with a discussion that comes from the Snowflake File.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake. Snowflake.
I was going to ask Brent to play that backwards, but
backwards
I don't know.
Backwards masking for Snowflake?
Yeah.
Who's the artist?
It's Ray.
Jim Reeves?
Jim Reeves, yeah.
Jim Reeves.
Good job, yeah. Ray.
A great country singer.
Yeah, right. And so I was going to ask him to play backwards because this is kind of a reverse snowflake.
Okay. The snowflake. Oh, you don't want us to listen backwards so we can figure out what kind of satanic message is.
There's no satanic message.
Okay.
If anything, it's a message of heat and summer. Okay. If you play it backwards, but no, this is a story of liberals getting a little taste of their own medicine on the heels of the protests in the national anthem. The Ravens have had to put extra security around the statue of their retired star, Ray Lewis, that's standing outside of M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. And the reason they're having to do that is because fans that are upset with the Ravens, and particularly Ray Lewis, who knelt during the national anthem last week, they want to tear down that statue. So now it's patriotic people that are saying we want to tear down a statue, and they're kind of now having to think of how that feels. So a little bit of their own medicine.
Who is the – where did you get the story? I'm not questioning your integrity, Steve. I'm just wanting to know what's going on here. Okay, Baltimore Sun. Because it wouldn't surprise me if the liberal media wouldn't try to make the conservatives look bad by making stuff up. Maybe three people. Who said they
no,
won't.
But that's a I don't agree. I don't agree with wanting the statue down, Ray Lewis.
Right. Ray Lewis,
he
NFL
knelt
player
for one game. He has a much broader history there in Baltimore than that. But it's ironic that if you apply the left standard to themselves, they don't like it. Let's take your statues down. You know, let's take statues down that you like and see how you feel about it.
Yeah, and Walker, you're taking a consistent position because you have said that you don't think that the Confederate monument statues, the historical statues, necessarily should be brought down either.
So who's the snowflake here, Steve?
Well, the snowflake would be the liberals now who wanted all these statues of Sherman and Lee down and now are saying, wait. You mean you could take one of ours down too?
Yeah.
What did they? Did they take the statue down there in Dallas, Ray?
Yeah, and they spent $400,000 to take down a statue of Robert E. Lee from a city park near downtown.
What'd they do with it?
No one really knows. It hasn't surfaced. It was a big, big deal. $400,000, a lot of controversy, carted it off. They've stored it somewhere, and I don't know. It's a beautiful statue.
Ray,
really a work of art.
Was it, Ray, was it the one that they took down in the middle of the night? They just kind of showed up and took down? I know there was one place that did that. Was that Dallas?
That was not in Dallas.
That was New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Right, that's New Orleans, yep. Yeah.
They went in at 2 in the morning with a bulldozer.
And didn't tell anybody they're going to do it. Just did it.
Yep. No city vote. No even city council vote.
Mm.
Well, all right. Another day in America
there.
Covered in an hour and a half. You're listening to the radio program. You have been listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And our time is over for this program. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ray, thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Walker, appreciate you. Did you finish your Pop-Tart?
Yep, Pop-Tart and Coke.
It's
in
gone.
My stomach now.
He's
Coke,
feeling great
Coke
now.
Gone. Wow.
I could go another hour on the show if you want to.
I'm sure you could with all that caffeine and sugar. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.